One of the places in our homes that holds some of the best memories, I believe, are around the family dining table. It's not just the food, it's the gathering of people of like mind. It's connecting, it's reconnecting, it's stories, and hopefully laughter, lots of laughter. At least in my home, that's my memory. There was more love around our family dinner table than there was in the family room. And that is even more true around the table of the Lord. Because when we have a communion service, it is the family of God that's gathered together for one purpose. Communion can be very reverent and very dignified, and for a good reason. We are remembering the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we are remembering the drama of that night, of his betrayal. But you know what? I'll bet that there were other meals with the disciples where there was a lot of laughter. One of the things I like about the TV presentation, The Chosen, which is a lot of fiction, but it's just so biblically inspired. It showed Jesus and the disciples having fun together and enjoying one another as they would break bread together. Not on that night, but on other nights. They broke bread and they drank wine and they laughed. I could just hear Peter saying, "Hey, did you see the look in that guy's eye when Jesus healed his leprosy? It was priceless." But on that particular night, I suspect Peter was quiet, uncharacteristically quiet. There was something different about the way Jesus was talking that night and what he shared. They could all hear it in his voice. They could see it in his face, his actions. There was no laughter when Jesus took the bread and he gave thanks for it, and then he broke it, and then he said, "This is my body, given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Peter probably looked at John and made a face. What is he talking about now? Kind of a mystery, you know? And then Jesus took a cup filled with wine and he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood." That was enough for everyone around the table to be absolutely confused. Of course, we now can look back on it from a different perspective. We have more information. We have more understanding of why Jesus was saying what he had to say. And this sacrament is indeed a very sobering ceremony that should cause any man or woman to take a deep breath and fall silent in awe of what he did. How many times in your life have you taken communion? I mean, for many of us here, we can't count them. It's just legion. And there may be a problem with that. For some folks, because of the frequency with which they've done this, it loses some of the feeling of awesomeness. It's just become a routine. Oh, this is Communion Sunday. It's very similar to what we talked about on Easter Sunday, if you remember. If you don't, shame on you. Communion, you know, a piece of bread, a sip of juice, a time of being quiet and praying silently, and then we move on. So I thought it might be good to review a little bit today about why we're coming to the table of the Lord. You may not need it, but I do. And I suspect there are at least a few people here who could benefit from reviewing this. So let's start here. Let's start with the word remember. Some of us are having trouble remembering things as we age. I won't ask for a show of hands because I'm afraid there'd be too many around the room. But forgetting some things is very common in many, many ages. And that is becoming even more true for young people today because of the iPhone. It can remind you of everything. You don't have to remember. It's like birthdays. I mean, I can't remember all the birthdays of my family members and their significant others. I have to have a list. It's on my computer. It's on my iPhone. I can call it up anytime I want to. I don't have to use my brain to remember that. We may remember the pain of an injury, but we forget the healing part. The pain sticks with us. Well, Jesus did not say, "Remember my birthday." Nor did he say, "Remember that I healed you." Jesus said, "Remember me. Remember me." That piece of bread that you're going to hold in your fingers today is more than a symbol of his body. Brothers and sisters, it's a sobering reminder of his perfect love for you. Hallelujah. Well, that was the word remember. Here's another word to contemplate. Relationship. The Greek word for communion is koinonia. And that word does not mean the Lord's Supper. That word does not mean bread. It does not mean wine. It does not mean table. That word means fellowship, sharing. In other words, this is a family meal. Paul put it this way in 1 Corinthians 10:17. He said, "We who are many are one body, for we all share the one loaf." So the stark reality is that communion is not for you. It's not for me. It's for us. Has that sunk in yet? I'm waiting, I'm pausing. Look around this room. Hello, look around this room. You have gotten to know each other pretty well, partly because we're not a big group, but also partly because you sit in the same seat every Sunday. And perhaps sometimes you even go out to lunch with one another and you get to know one another. But once again, look around this room. Is there anybody in this room that you do not know very well? I mean, there are fewer than 20 people sitting here. Is there anybody that you don't know very well? You've never been to their home. You've never had them in yours. You have never gone to lunch with them, or dinner, or breakfast. You've never sat around the table with them unless it was at a church gathering. And you've never been invited to their birthday party. But they are just as much a part or a member of your family as you are theirs, and as much as your seat mate. They're part of the koinonia. They're part of the relationship that we share together that we call covenant fellowship. His life is your life. Her strength is your strength. His needs are your needs. Her joy, smile, her joy is your joy. We are a family. I'm not going to suggest that we actually do this, but I want you to imagine with me this morning that we were all to get up and move to a different chair and sit by a different person that we don't know very well. You know what? I'm not going to ask you to do it because I'm afraid some people would quit coming to church if I did that. But at least do that in your imagination. What the heck? If you want to do that later when we have communion, go ahead. Change your seat. I'll be proud of you. And we're not going to do this either, but imagine feeding one another the bread and the wine. The way many of us fed our children around the family table. That is koinonia, which is what the word communion is in Greek. And that's what this sacrament should be. First, remember, then relationship, and now one more, reward. And this is what I mean. Every time we take communion together, we are proclaiming that Jesus died for us, that he rose from the dead, and that he's coming back again to establish his kingdom here on earth. And that is our ultimate reward. Paul said it this way, whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Hallelujah. So, at this table, we are looking back, we are looking around, and we are looking forward, all at the same time. Isn't that exciting? I read this quote. I love this quote. Communion is not the final meal. It is a rehearsal dinner. I like that. Like a wedding rehearsal dinner. In John's remarkable vision called the Book of Revelation, he said this, hallelujah, for our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory. For the wedding of the Lamb, the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride, hello, his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given to her to wear. Then the angel said to me, write this, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. Hallelujah. So brothers and sisters, I invite you today to come to this table, not because you are worthy, but because he is.